And the things that we walked into and the things that we want to walk into through this journey, through the series, and through our 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church, which starts tomorrow, are these three things. Last week we learned that we want to learn what it looks like to be aligned with His power. We want to be aligned with God's power. So often we try to work on our own power. Remember the whole generator versus power grid illustration? Like, a lot of times we plug into God's greater power grid. He has it all, and then sometimes we try to run on our own little, you know, 5-horsepower generator, and we are limited in what we can do. And so we want to stay engaged and aligned with the power that God has and plugged into that power with Him. We talked about being hungry for His presence, that there are seasons of our life and our relationship with Christ that He pushes us to new levels with Him. That whether it's a valley moment in our life that forces us on our knees in a new way that we have to then walk into Him even deeper, or whether it's a peak moment where we see God in a brand new way and we're like, I want more of that and be hungry for Him. Whatever it is, we want to walk into a season that our spiritual appetite changes a little. That we kind of move from some of the things that maybe have become boring habits, or sometimes our relationship with God or our prayer life or study and word, it can stagnate. We want to be hungry. We want to have a spiritual hunger for His presence in our life every single day. And so we're giving you some tools to do that through this season. And this morning you're going to hear more about that. And we wanted to be very practical in this. And the whole point of these things is that we can move then towards victory. That we can live a victorious life through Christ. That we can not align with our power or just hungry for our personal presence. When we're aligned with His and we're hungry for Him, we can move into the victory He has for us. And so I had you guys last week answer some questions. Like, where do you want to see God move in your life? What are some things you want His power to show up in? And we started asking the question, for those of you here, what are you going to fast from in this season? What are you going to let go of so you can feed your spiritual life differently? And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But that's what we're doing as a church. We're walking into these things, and we're doing it through a 21 days of prayer and fasting that starts tomorrow. So you can, you know, feast today, live it up before you give it up. No, I'm just kidding. That's really bad theology, right? That's like Mardi Gras theology. Let's have a party, get drunk, and then we'll pray and ask for forgiveness tomorrow. Like, that's not a good way to live your life, okay? But if you want that last piece of chocolate, go for it today, or whatever it is that you're fasting from, right? And so we're starting tomorrow, and we are ending on Sunday, February 3rd. And on February 3rd, the way we're ending it together as a church family. That evening, we are having our annual kind of worship and prayer meeting where we pray together, and then we talk about where we're heading this year and the vision for where we see God leading and guiding us as a church, and we present the budget and those kind of things. So we're going to celebrate that together and celebrate some stories in that. And then we're also going to celebrate with just a party. We're going to hang out. We have to call it the Big Game Bash for copyright reasons, but I think you know what the big game is. And we would love for you to join us that night. So that, I think that part starts at 6:30. The meeting's at 5. You can look in your worship program for the info on that. But what we're asking is for you to give up something during the season. And for some of you, it might be a certain food. It may be certain meals throughout the week that you give up. And instead of feeding your body, the whole point is to feed your spirit. It's to take those hunger pains as you have them and be reminded, and when I feel this way, I'm going to pray instead. This is God's reminder for me. I want to go deeper with Him. Or whether it's a Daniel fast, and there's all sorts of things online you can study about what a Daniel fast is. It's giving up certain choice things, choice fruits or meats and that kind of stuff is what Daniel gave up in the Old Testament to show God he was serious about his prayers. Or maybe sometimes it's just juice and water. You're like, I'm going to fast from food all one day out of the week. Or I wouldn't suggest doing that the entire 21 days. But there's different ways you can do that. Or maybe it's fasting something that you normally feed your soul with, like media, like TV and entertainment. Maybe it's social media. Instead of streaming and scrolling, you say, you know what, I'm going to put away that for these 21 days, and I'm going to focus on God instead, or gaming or TV or whatever it might be. Okay. And we have some tools, and I'll give you those at the end. But that's what we're doing as a church. That's what we're walking into. Let's go deeper, be aligned with God's power, hungry for His presence, and let Him lead us towards victory in very specific ways in our life. Now, I wanted to read a few scriptures because today we're going to get practical, okay? Today is this is not a normal sermon either this week. We're kind of changing things up here for the first part of 2019 because today is going to feel more like you just went to a conference and you got schooled, okay? I don't know if you guys love doing those kind of things, like with something that you just learned from, and you're like, man, that was very practical, and I have some very practical things to do today because of what I heard. That's what you're going to experience today, and we are giving you tools on how to do your personal devotional time with God. How do you read God's word each day? How do you intentionally spend prayer? Because we know a lot of times, a lot of people, for a lot of Christ followers, this is an area that is actually a part of guilt in the relationship with God. They feel like, I know I should do that, but I don't do it, or things get busy, and we kind of like get out of sync in those kind of things. And so we want to give you some tools. So this morning, some of you, You do this every day. Like for you, you've created a spiritual discipline and habit. That's awesome. You're going to be encouraged. Some of you, you need some tools in your toolbox. You're getting some tools today, all right, that can really encourage you to walk into this. Because God's word, he's given it to us. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And when we get into his scriptures, that's a part of it. I'm just going to read a few scriptures real quick, okay? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture, how much of it? All of it, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we get into God's word, we experience God's blessing. That's what it's saying. Like everything in scripture, it builds us up. And we need to learn and understand how to get into it. Another passage in Psalm 119:105. This is one of those kind of encouraging devotional kind of like things. It's like, your word, God's word, is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. I don't know if you ever heard that one. I mean, that's like the pretty picture from P. Graham Dunn, you know, type of thing. Like that. We love that. But in reality, when we're walking in darkness, I'm telling you, some of us really need some light in front of us, don't we? We need just that next step lit of that path, and that's what God's word does. And so if you're in darkness, I'm going to encourage you, get into God's word. It is a light to our paths. And then in Matthew 4:4, there in Matthew chapter 4, we read about Jesus before he started his ministry. So he went into the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days and nights, and then he was going to start his ministry. And while he was fasting, at the end of it, Satan himself shows up and tries to tempt Jesus. He tries to like get him off the plan. He tries to challenge his identity. And one of those things, and imagine if you were fasting, which some of you will be, right? All of us will be, hopefully, that if you're fasting from certain foods, your hunger grows for that food, right? And I can imagine Jesus at the end of a fast was pretty darn hungry. So here is what Satan did. He tempted him and said, if you're the Son of God, if you have all this power, take this stone and turn it into bread. Won't you just eat, would you? You know, like, I'm thinking, like, for us, it's like, well, that seemed like a silly thing, but that was probably a ginormous temptation in that moment. And I think all of us could feel that and understand that temptation. And yet Jesus wasn't going to, he wasn't jumping on the bait. He said, but he, Jesus, answered, it is written, man shall live, or shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, like, just slams the stone and says, this isn't working. Some of us, we need to write this one down during the fast, right? Because there will be times the enemy will be like, oh, you just got to give this thing up. Just stop praying about that. Just eat that thing that you promised God you weren't going to eat. And you can say, no, I do not live by bread alone. I mean, after 21 days, I'll have a little bit, but right now, I am feeding on the word of God. That's the heartbeat of fasting. That we're going to be walking into. And so as we now jump into this, and this morning is you're going to hear some practical stuff, you get to hear from somebody that is like passionate about the discipline of spiritual devotions, prayer, and reading God's word. And that's Nikki, my wife Nikki. I'm telling you, if there's a spiritual giant in our family that leads the front on this, it's her. And so so she is going to be bringing you this practical story and challenge and message on how to walk into doing devotions and being in God's word and prayer. So you can clap for her if you want to. I think it'd be good if you did. But awesome.
Okay. All right. I have to to remind myself where this button is again. Oh, this the round screen. Wait, if I press the right and left, will it do what I need it to do? That one. Thank you. Okay. Now I'm fuzzy.
Is that her?
Is this me? Testing, check, 1, 2, 3, check, am I on?
You're on.
I don't hear it coming out. Okay, I'm just going to trust you guys that it is, for real. Okay, so here's the deal. This is going to not be a normal Sunday morning and what we're going to be doing right now. It's going to feel totally different, and it already has since I've been up here. So you're welcome that it's been different already since I've been up here. What we want for you guys to hear is about what this whole fasting thing and about us being able to dedicate this time that we're going to be doing the next 21 days to the Lord. And so what we're talking about is going to be a lot of different things through the series that we're going to be doing here starting January. And a lot it's going to be of kind of like a spiritual reboot and spiritual disciplines, and how do we kind of do this Jesus thing. And no matter where we're at in our walks with Christ, I think we're all going to learn stuff from it, because I'm really excited about the series that we're going to be doing in this whole victorious thing. How do we live victorious? What does this even mean? And so we're going to be giving you guys a lot of tools to do that. And one of the tools that we're going to be giving you guys today is, how do I spend time with Jesus on a daily basis? What does that mean? Because we are firm believers that we are not going to be living victorious without Jesus. It's just not going to happen. We can't live victorious without Jesus, because we were created for his glory. That's why he made all of us. And it says in the scripture that we are created for his glory. So we're not going to be able to live victorious lives if we're living them for self, for living them for others. We need to live our life for Jesus. So how do we live our life for Jesus, and how do we have a victorious life? Well, the thing is that you can't live your life for Jesus or have a victorious life if you don't know Jesus. Because Jesus is not a religion. He's a relationship. And if you aren't spending time with somebody, you're not going to have a relationship with that person. So how do we spend time with Jesus? So that's the thing that we're going to be really talking about today. And the thing is, I'm so thankful for that you guys are here. And I had no idea like what the 9 o'clock gathering is going to look like. And here you guys all are. And thank you so much for coming in the crazy snow and weather and stuff like that. Like, you guys are so awesome to be here. And this morning, it's going to feel more like a breakout session, a conference or something like that. I have talked this and done this talk countless times. I don't know how many people I've done this talk to, but it's almost all been one-on-one. People have come to me going, Nikki, I'm not actually sure how to do my devotions. And I'll say, oh, okay, I'd be happy to meet with you. And the two of us meet together and I talk them through it. I also, at our women's retreat last year, did what I'm going to be sharing with you guys at like a breakout session at the retreat. And after the retreat is over, we were getting all the feedback from the ladies that got to go to that. The ladies that went to this breakout session said, I got more from that breakout session than I did the entire retreat. So I think there's some power to what I'm going to be sharing with you guys this morning. If you guys were at the retreat and went to this breakout session, you're going to hear it again. But hopefully you'll learn still stuff from it too. So the thing is that because of the fact that this is going to feel like just me giving you a class on how to do personal devotions, when you go to class and when you're at school, you normally take notes. And today is not going to be an exception for that. So on your worship program, on the back of it, it's all these blanks. And I really don't think that you guys are going to get a lot out of it if you don't fill these in today. because this is going to be your practical take home, and then how do I decide how I'm going to do this on my own. And so if you did not grab a worship program, they are out right beside the main doors of the auditorium. If you need a pen and there's not one in front of you, grab one from the chair behind you, or there is a mug of them on the table right beside the main doors that you guys could go grab a pen too. So hopefully you guys have everything you need, and we're going to go ahead and get started with this. So it's, again, here I am starting. This is how you do personal devotions, okay? So what I'm going to tell you is how I do it. Now, it might not work for you. You might be like, that's great for Nikki. Does not work for me. It's just not going to work for me. I would say pick one thing out of what I tell you today that will work for you and start that. And if everything that I say works for you, great. Pick more than one thing. But if you only add one thing to a habit that you have not done before, you started a new habit. And then you can continue to grow from there. So this is how I do my personal devotions, okay? So I do it in the morning. I do it right when I wake up. Because for me, that's what works for me. If I start going throughout the rest of the day, I may never get a back around to it. So I try to do it right away in the mornings, which means that I have to wake up before everybody else in order to get it done. Because if I don't, then it's like we have three kids and I'm married. So it's like, you know, and we have a dog. So it's like somebody needs me, you know, after that. So anyway, so I try to do it right away in the morning. Pick a time that works for you. Another thing would be pick a space that works for you. Is the kitchen table a great place for you to do it? We have a mini couch that sits in our bedroom. That's where I do it. There's a lamp right beside it. Pastor Tim is not a morning person, and I am. So we have a little light that sits beside that couch, and I turn it on, and he's still asleep, and I'm doing my quiet time right there, and it doesn't wake him up. So anyways, this is what works for me. You have to pick a space in your house of where do you feel like you're going to be able to not have any distractions, and find a space of wherever that is, because of the fact that you're not going to want to have a lot of distractions in front of you. If there's a lot of noise going on, if you have the TV on while you're trying to do your devotions, it's probably not a great thing. If you have your phone right next to you and it's not on silent, that's probably not a great thing. So that's what I'm saying. Pick a space. Pick a space that you're going to do it and that you're going to be able to do it without any distractions. So I have my time I want to do it. I have my space. And then is when I start. And this is the tools that I use. This is my life. This is my life right here. These three books. So I always have a journal. And I've gone through dozens of journals throughout my spiritual walk and stuff. And so I always just pick a cheap one out at Walmart or wherever I'm at. And I always have a journal. And the first thing that I do when I sit down to do my devotions is I open up my journal. I just really quick jot down the date. I already did this morning, Sunday, 1-13-19. And then underneath that, I write the words thankful for. And I write five things that I'm thankful for. And that's the first thing that I do with my devotions. There's a lot of reasons why I start my devotions this way. First of all, because when I first sit down and my first thoughts are, God is at work somewhere, I'm giving credit to him for what he's at work doing. Because I could come and sit down and go, Jesus, I'm tired. Didn't really want to be up this early today. I have a lot going on. Here's all the things I want you to help me with today. Here's all the things that I'm asking you to do. Here's all the problems that I'm asking you to solve. I just made it all about me. And when I say I'm thankful for, I'm starting with a heart of, God, I didn't come to this time because it's all about me. I came to this time because it's all about you. So I have five things that I'm thankful for that I want to say, thank you, Jesus, that you did this. Now, it's simple stuff, like my things for thankful for. Number one, it says Jesus. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for Jesus. Number two, safety driving in the snow yesterday. That was my number two thing that I wrote, because we had to go to Medina, and when we were coming home, it was like 4:30, and the roads were pretty bad, and we got home safely. So I was thankful for that. So like, it doesn't have to be stuff like, let me think very deep spiritual thoughts and write four paragraphs of what I'm thankful for. Mine are like three sentence words, sometimes a whole sentence, sometimes not, and it's just jotting down five things that I'm thankful for. And after I write down my five things that I'm thankful for, then I switch to this book, which is my prayer journal. So I switch to this book, which is my prayer journal. And then I open up my prayer journal book, and let me get all my stuff organized here. And I have tabs on this that say every day, and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I have little tabs here, and then I flip to my everyday one, and I have all my everydays, and then this is what I pray for every day, obviously, and then I go and I pray for my whatever day of the week it is. So today would have been Sunday, and so this is what I do for my prayer journal. Now, for my everyday, the first thing that I do is, when I start to pray, is ask the Lord to forgive me for any sins that I might have done. And there hasn't been a day yet in all of my years of living that I haven't had something to ask Jesus for forgiveness for. And so we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible's clear about it, and the Bible's true, I'm definitely fall into that category, falling short of the glory of God every day. So the first thing I do is ask Jesus to forgive me for something that I've done. And then I give praise to Jesus. After that, thank you for, and I go down my things of what I'm thankful for. And then there's just specific things that I pray for every day. Victory over temptation, that I'll fear God and have humility, for gentleness and a quiet spirit. That one's hard for me, so I have to pray for that one a lot, the gentleness and quiet spirit thing. My thought life and attitude, I pray for opportunities to witness to people, that God will give me direction in life. I pray that God will provide for us and keep us healthy and safe. And I pray for all of my immediate family members by name, Tim and our boys and our parents and our siblings. And these are things that I pray for every day. Then I do something that I do something that God taught me when I was in later high school years, and so this is kind of a lot of power behind this. When I was in high school, and I grew up in the church, and a lot of you guys know that, and even my dad was a pastor even when I was a younger kid and stuff. So church was always something that was part of who we were and what we did and everything. And we had a great youth pastor as well, and that really was influential in my life. I'm thankful for the people that God has brought into my life to disciple me and to mentor me throughout my life. Again, I have no script up here. Do you guys see this? It's like me talking. So I'm like, I have no idea where I'm really going to go with this. I told Pastor Tim, I have no idea where I'm going to go with this. He's like, that's okay. So anyways, this is just like me talking to just you. I would say that has been one of the things that has helped me to stay consistent in my walk with Christ, is always having somebody mentor me and disciple me and speak into me. And if you don't have that, you need to find that. Because life goes, Pastor Tim has talked about this lots of times, when life goes sideways, you don't need a sermon, you need a someone. And I've always had a someone in my life, and it's been very strategic of me asking people, I need somebody to be in my life. Will you be my someone? Will you mentor me? Will you disciple me? Even at 42 years old, I meet with someone once a month, and we meet together. And it is another pastor's wife who's been in ministry longer than me. She's 10, 15 years older than me, and she speaks into me, and we meet together once a month. It is important to have somebody that you can be real with and not be filtered with. This is all the things that are going on in my life. this is what's happening with me, and that somebody that you trust completely is not going to share what's going on in your life to anybody else and is going to keep it between the two of you and will fill you with truth and will help you and stuff. So I think it is hard for women to do this, and I think it is almost impossible for men. And I think that we need to get over the difficulties of this and try to have it anyways and stuff, because it's very important to have somebody in your life that's a safe person that'll help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. So anyways, that was totally a side note that I wasn't planning on saying, but I think that's definitely something that's helped me in my spiritual growth. The thing with what happened with me in high school is growing up in the church and having an awesome youth pastor that's invested in me, there was something that our church, as a big national conference, the bigger side of who our church was organized with, the national conference would allow the teens that went to our church denomination to all put in applications to be a part of a summer ministry. And the summer ministry was called Operation Barnabas. And I had grown up in the church, and I had seen kids from my youth group be able to go to this thing called Operation Barnabas and be a part of this. And I knew when I got to be old enough, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be part of Operation Barnabas. I wanted to be part of that team. And it was people that were all over the United States that were in our church conference that would apply to be in it, but they would only accept about 40 teens, juniors and seniors in high school, to be a part of this summer missions opportunity, where they would go to churches and inner city projects, and they would do programs, they do like street evangelism, they do vacation Bible schools for kids, and they would spend, these teenagers would just spend their whole summer just doing ministry. And I, as growing up in the church and growing up with this, I was like, I want to do this. And so my freshman year of high school, I talked to the people that kind of headed this up. I saw them at my national summer camp in the summer, and I said, what, I would like to do this after my junior year, because I will not be able to do it after my senior year, because I knew that that wasn't going to work for our family. And I said, so I want to do this 2 or 3 years from now. What can I do to kind of like make sure that this is going to happen, that I'm going to get to be a part of Operation Barnabas, because I just really have wanted to do this like ever since I was little. And they said, fill out an application now, because those are the ones that we get, like multiple applications, like one each year. We know these kids are students are serious, and we'll take your application more seriously when it comes time for you're the age to go. So I filled out an application, and I did everything that I could to do this. The following year, I knew I was also going to go after my sophomore year. I filled out another application. Could I please go and do this? And then when it came time for, it was the year that I was going to do this, I was told that my name was already on the list, and I was going to be able to go to Operation Barnabas. I was so excited about this, because this is something that I had been planning on for like 7 or 8 years of getting to do this for the summer. So anyways, I applied the year that I was going to get to go. I was told that my name was already on the acceptance list. I was so excited about it. And then I found out that other kids in my youth group had gotten acceptance letters to go, but I did not get one. And so I called our youth pastor, and I said, do you know what happened? Because like I've planned already to do this, and like we already had it in the works and everything. And what happened? I was like, to be really honest, I was like 17 years old and like heartbroken. Like, I've wanted to do this forever. And like, I really felt like God wanted me to do this too. And I don't understand why I didn't get accepted. And he called the person that found out why some people got accepted and why didn't. And they said, bottom line is, Nikki, they talked to somebody else, and they didn't talk to me, they talked to somebody else, and that person said that you already had a lot of leadership qualities, and they wanted to pick people that still needed to develop those, and that's why you weren't accepted. And I'm like, so if I was like a loser, I would have gotten accepted, but because of the fact that, like, I took this seriously, I'm not, like, that doesn't really seem fair, and I didn't get to go. I didn't get to go on this thing, and, like, once you miss the opportunity, it's done, and you never get to go on it, and you don't get to go. And so we had, like, a transition in youth pastors at that time, too, at the church I was at, and I just looked, like, what else can I do this summer? Like, I'll work and I'll get a job, and I did. And we were going, our youth group wasn't little, but just our church itself was taking a very small team of people on a mission trip to the sticks of Kentucky called Dry Hill, Kentucky. And there was a little church that lived like go nowhere and get the 30 miles past that. That's where this church was. Like, there was very far from any kind of civilization. Like, the nearest gas station was 20 minutes away, and they only sold bait and tackle at the gas station, and that was it. And they were going to this church, taking a very small team of people because they needed a new pipe dug out and put on the property of where this church was, and they just needed some manpower to go and do this. And they said, do you think that your church could send some teens to Dry Hill, Kentucky, and dig out this thing and put a new pipe in for us? And I found out our church is doing that, and I'm like, I want to do some kind of ministry work this summer, so I'll just go with that team, and there's 5 of us, and I'll go. And I can do work. I can do that. I can dig. I don't know, whatever. I'm going to do this. So I went. And we went there, and we went, and there was 5 of us. And I'm like, whatever this is, I'm just going to make the best of it because I can't change it. And so we were there, and literally they're so far away from civilization, and where they're at in the mountains, it's really even hard to have running water where they're at. So you're working hard, and it's summer heat, and you're doing hard labor work and stuff, and you can't take showers because if you took a shower, then the next day nobody would be able to flush a toilet or something because that's just no water. They just didn't really have a lot of water access there and stuff. Which is one thing we were helping them with. So it was dry and it was hot and you're dirty and whatever, but it's okay because God is good and I'm only here for a week and we can do this. The thing is that God met me there at Dry Hill, Kentucky, because at the same time that we had our team there of 5 students and 1 adult helper, there was another guy visiting this church to encourage the pastor and his wife that were there. And his name was Ray. And Ray was in his, about 80 years old, and he had been a retired missionary from Africa, and he had been worked in Africa on the mission field for about 40 years. And he knew that pastor and his wife from this teeny tiny church in Dry Hill, Kentucky, and he was there just as a friend to them to just to talk with them and meet with them, and just happened to be there the same week as us. And so I got to know Ray. Just kind of hung out with Ray. I was became Ray's buddy. And at night, we would have campfires, and we'd just be sitting outside and stuff, and just the sun was down, and we'd be sitting outside, and I'd just sit next to Ray, and I'd say, "Hey, Ray." He'd go, "Hey, Nikki." And I said, "Just tell me a story." That's what I tell him. Tell me a story. He has so many stories of his time in Africa and what he had done and things that he had seen and stuff like that. And I just drilled him with questions while we had that campfire time or whatever. And he was so graceful and put up with me, my little 17-year-old self. And I said, "Ray, what do you think makes somebody successful in ministry? And how did you... living over there for that many years had to have been really hard. So what would you recommend? What do you think that you need to do in order to walk a lifetime with Jesus and be successful in ministry?" And he didn't even blink, and he told me this: "You need to have people that pray for you." That's what he said. And I said, "How do you do that?" And he said, "I find 10 people and they pray for me every day, and I pray for them every day." And that was his answer. I said, "How did you find these people?" And he said, "I prayed for them." And then I asked them. And I said, and they pray for you every day, and you pray for them every day. And he said, yes. And I didn't get to go to Operation Barnabas that supper, but I had to got some really awesome campfires with Ray. And that shaped me, that changed me, of it's really not about the longevity of living with Jesus and living with a relationship with Jesus is not about so much of what we do and the fruit that we are. It is about who we are in these moments with these things and these tools right here. This is what sustains us, and this is what helps us to go through life without giving up and without letting, you know, giving in to all of the things that happen to us, because these are the things that keep us stable. And listening to Ray of how do you do it, I have people that pray for me, it really inspired me. And at that time, I prayed, Lord, please provide for me people that will pray for me every day and that I'll pray for them every day. And at the bottom here, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 people that I pray for every day, and they pray for me every day. And I started this when I was 17, and now I'm 42, and I don't have 10 yet. But I figure by the time I'm 80, like Ray, I'll have 10. And they pray for me every day, and I pray for them every day. And it's a commitment. And you don't just ask people flippantly, will you make this covenant with me that we'll pray for each other every day? Because it has to be somebody that you know is going to take it seriously, and that you know that they're going to actually do it. And that no matter what highs and lows life brings, that that's somebody that's going to be consistent to take the time to pray for you every day. And sometimes I don't know what to pray for them because I didn't get an update lately or I'm not sure what to pray for them. But I do always pray these things for them. And I like Colossians 1, 9 through 11. And these are things that you can just kind of write to the side here. But it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives. This is just verse 9. So if you don't know what to pray for people and you're not sure, this is what Paul prayed for the church of Colossians. This is what Paul prayed for them, and the things that he prayed for him were, from verse 9, you can get that people will discover God's will, that God will give them wisdom. So he'll fill you with the knowledge of his will and through all wisdom. If you have somebody pray for you every day, that you will discover God's will and that you will have wisdom, wouldn't there be great prayers for you to be praying that, somebody be praying that for you? And then verse 10 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so in verse 10, this is verse 10. So in verse 10, you'll be praying that the person grows spiritually, that they're pleasing, honoring to God, and that they are bearing fruit. So that's verse 10. So if you have somebody praying every day for you for those things, that you please him, you bear fruit, and you grow in the knowledge of God, those are really powerful prayers. And then in verse 11, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. And this is verse 11. In verse 11, you have that people would be praying for strength for you, patience for you, and endurance for you. So if a week goes by and somebody's praying these prayers for you and you're praying those prayers for them, then you are praying that you will discover God's will, grow spiritually, have wisdom, be pleasing and honoring to God, bearing fruit, have strength, patience, and endurance. Who does not want those things? We all want these things. And I think it's really great that we can just take our model of what should I pray for people right from the Bible, right from the New Testament of these are the things that we should be praying for. These are the things that Paul and his apostles were praying for the first church for. The believers, these are praying, and this is us, we're the church, and we're the believers, so we should be praying these things for each other. So that's kind of a tool that I use of what to pray for people. So I think the next slide is prayer. Ooh, there we go. Okay, who are your prayer partners? That's one of the things that are in your notes on the worship program. Who are your prayer partners? I put 3, not 10, because I'm like, it starts slow. You really need to pray about who would be a good person that you think I think they'd be they could do this. I think that we could have this kind of relationship, that they'll pray for me every day and I'll pray for them every day. Some of these people I don't talk to very often at all. Half of mine don't live in this state. So, like, it doesn't have to be people that, like, you see all the time and whatever. It can be people that you grew up with, people that you went to school with, family members from out of town, whatever. It doesn't matter really who they are, as long as the fact that you know they'll take it seriously. And I know that there's a lot of times that my life has gone sideways, that what sustained me was I physically felt people praying for me. And it's a really great feeling to wake up in the morning knowing that you're being prayed for. And that can give you a lot of strength, knowing that I'm being prayed for today, so I'm not going to choose today to be the day that I just kind of give up and throw the towel in. I'm like, there's people that are committed to praying for me, and I'm not going to give up. And you're committed to pray for them, and the ministry that you have in their life through the prayer, too, is just amazing. So, okay, so I start with my everyday, and that's part of my everyday is praying for people every day, and they pray for me every day. On your worship program, it has, like, days of the week. I'm just going to go through this really fast, like what I pray for. This might not work for you, but I have a lot of people say to me, I don't know how to do devotions because when I sit down and I pray, I start to, my mind just starts to wander, and then I don't feel like I'm not really praying much because I'm thinking about stuff. And like, I think that happens to a lot of us. With me having a plan, my mind doesn't wander because of the fact that I just stick to the plan and stuff. So this is, again, may not work for you. This is what works for me. I already kind of gave you some everyday prayers of things that I pray for. What I pray for on Monday is that I will honor God. So if you want to write that, honor God, you can. If not, don't write that. But I pray that God will give me wisdom for decisions, that I'll have strength, that I'll encourage others, that I will honor God in my relationships. On Mondays, I pray kind of more for myself, that I will honor God. On Tuesdays, I pray for our country. I pray for our president. Whether I voted for the person or not, doesn't matter. They get my prayers because that's a hard job and they need it. I pray for people that are friends of ours that are missionaries. And I pray for those other ministry couples that are in Tim and my life that we serve alongside, but they're at a different church or different state every Sunday. So I pray for missionaries, and I pray for our country and the people more around the world. On Wednesday, I pray for friends. So I pray for people that are in Tim and my life, people that have been in our small groups, people that we do life with, people that we serve alongside. So on Thursday, on Wednesday, I pray for our friends. On Thursday, I pray for the people that are in our life that do not yet know Jesus. And so on Thursday, I pray a lot for our neighbors, people that I see through our boys' schools and stuff like that, that do not yet know Jesus as their Savior. And so I pray for them because I think somebody needs to pray for these people to come to know Jesus, and I can do that, and I can do that on Thursdays. So that's what I do. And then on Friday, I pray for our church. So I have all of our ministry leaders written down on my Friday notes, and I have other things that Pastor Tim and I print out that we pray specifically for our church. Can I just encourage you? We need your prayers. And if you guys don't pray for us as leaders, could you, like, put that, I mean, it doesn't have to be on Friday, put on your Tuesday list, I don't know, I don't care, whatever day you put it on, but if you would pray for our church and pray for us as ministry leaders, we would love it, those prayers. We go through a lot and stuff, and it'd be really nice to know that our church people are praying for us. On Saturday is more of a free day for me. I have prayer and praise on Saturday. Saturday's more like our boys sleep in a little longer on Saturdays if they can, and so it's kind of a day of me having maybe a little bit more space, and so I like to listen a lot more on Saturday of, Lord, is there anything that's gone on this week that I didn't handle well or that I have not confessed to you, and just sit and listen and see what maybe God wants to say to me, and then also spend more time praising the Lord for the things that he's done. So Saturday prayer, like my prayer time is more of a prayer and praise type thing. And then on Sundays, I did this morning, is when I pray for all of our extended family. We still have two grandmas that are in their 90s. I pray for them. I pray for my aunts and uncles and cousins, and I spend Sunday kind of more spending time in prayer. This three-ring binder works for me. I keep a lot of past notes things in it, and then on the front of it is when this is where I keep the things that we're praying for during our fast, the things that we really are highly expectant of God, what we want God to do during the fast, prayer requests that people have given me through like small group stuff. Can you pray for this? I write those down on pieces of paper, and I stick these in here and stuff. We have I pray for those of you that support a child through Compassion. Ours is named Angel. I pray for Angel every day. He's 14 years old, living in Dominican Republic. I have his thing in here. Biblical virtues to pray for your kids, 31 things. So every day I pray for something specific for our boys, depending upon the calendar day. Today's the 13th, so I pray for the 13th thing on the list for our boys. Today was purity. So great thing to pray for kids. So anyway, so that's what I keep in the front of my binder. And pray for that. So that's what I do second. Are you still tracking with me? Are you guys horribly bored? Okay, and then after I five things I'm thankful for, go through my prayer stuff, that's when then I go to my word, the word. I am a hard copy Bible person. Pastor Tim is not. He's a Bible app person. What kind of person are you? You decide it and you figure it out. But here's the thing about this. I love the Word of God. I mean, like, love it. Don't know where I would be without it. I love this so much, sometimes I sleep with it. Like, when life is hard or you just can't sleep at night or whatever, I will grab my Bible and hug it, and I know Jesus is here. This is the Word of God, and this is God's words to us, and he loves us so much that he gave this to us. And I firmly, fully, 100% believe that there's not one problem that I'm ever going to face in my life that the answer to it is not in here. It's everything that we need for life and godliness is what's inside this. And if we're looking at other things to be our answers, it's not going to last. But if we look at this to be the answer, God's words to us, your life is always going to be on a clearer path and a better direction than anything else. I love this word. I love this word. It's Jesus speaking to me. It's me, him telling me, this is the way that you should be, and this is the way you should act. And this is all the stories of all the people that have gone before you, and all the things that they did, and all the mistakes that they made, and how they lived through it, and how God was faithful from the beginning, and he's going to be faithful to the end, and he's faithful to me. And I love this word. I love it. So whether you are a hard copy Bible person, whether you are a Bible app person, I would say just figure out what works for you, and you got to be in the Word. And what I do is, this is what works for me, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and then when I'm finished at Revelation, I start over again. And I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. Like, I don't know. I don't know how many times I've read the whole entire Bible through, but it's been a lot. And that's what works for me. If you want to read through the Bible through for the entire year, if you read 3 chapters a day, you will have the entire Bible read in 1 year. So that's like maybe something that some of you might want to commit to. In 2019, I want to read the entire Bible through Genesis through Revelation. If that doesn't work for you, there are so many Bible apps and there are so many resources that we have today that there's no excuse for you to not find a plan that works for you. I'm not a real big technology person. I'm not a big computer person. Pastor Tim is. I would be really okay not owning a phone or a computer. Like, I really like, I get, you can just kind of see that. Like, I'm kind of a paper pencil type of person. Pastor Tim has his prayer notes on an Evernote on his iPad. And he types in his prayer stuff, and then he pulls it up, and then he looks at a screen and reads his prayer stuff on a screen. And then he gets on his iPad or his phone or whatever, and he reads his devotions that way, and he highlights stuff and then types out notes in the margin. I'm a pen and paper person, but you might not be like that. You might be more the way that Pastor Tim is. Figure out what works for you. Because we live in a day and age where we have access to all of the old school stuff like I am and all of the technology stuff. So we really, really can do this however you guys want to do this. But what I would say is get in the Word. Figure out what works for you. Now, when you read the Word of God, one thing that would be good for you to do so that way you're not reading it going, I got absolutely nothing out of this, is what we call the SOAP method. And the SOAP method is S-O-A-P, and S stands for scripture. So that's what scripture you're going to read that day. It could be a verse. It could be a chapter. It could be an entire book of the Bible. Just what scripture are you going to read that day? And then the O is for observation. Pick something out of it that you observe from that passage. Whatever it is, pick out something that the Israelites were still being disobedient to God. This is an awesome thing that Joseph did. Paul said this to the church, and I think that this is like an observation of like what I'm observing of what I'm reading. The A is application. What from what you observed, from what you read, can you apply to your life? And even if it's just like Genesis, you know, or Matthew has there's a lot of genealogies through the Bible. There can be something that you can get from this of like, wow, there was a lot of people in that family, and some of them followed Christ and some of them did not. How can I apply to my life what I've learned here in this story? One of the verses in the Bible that I love says, every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Every word of God, this Bible is true, proves true, and there's something about every story in the Bible that we can learn to apply to our life. And then the P is prayer. So with the P being prayer, it's like, okay, I've read my scripture, I've made an observation, this is what I'm going to apply to my life. And the prayer is then, Lord, help me to apply this to my life. Help me to sink in with me, and help me to know how to act. Help me to know how to act on what I'm going to choose to apply to my life. So the question for you guys would be, how are you going to read God's word? So you guys are going to go from here, and the fast starts tomorrow, and we've had people that did the devotional that we have in the back for you today for you guys to take a devotional book for the fast with you. And some people every year have said, I started doing the 21-day fast, and I'd never had actually spent time in God's word every day, and so I started to do that, and now I've made it a habit, and it's now become part of what I do every day, which is like so amazing. The fast is a great time for you guys to get into some of the disciplines of spending time every day that's committed to your relationship with Jesus. In relationships, if you think about, if you only come to church on Sunday and you're only here for 1 hour a week on a Sunday morning, and then you leave from here and you've never opened a Bible up at all the whole entire time since last Sunday, and you've never prayed, and you've never gone into any kind of Bible apps or anything, then basically the only time that you have invested in your relationship with Jesus is 1 hour a week. If you think about somebody that you really want to know and somebody that you really want to be close to, you're going to spend a lot more than just 1 hour a week with that person. I was a school teacher, and I had students Monday through Friday from 9 to 3:30, and I had a relationship with those students because I spent so much time with them. I also have been a children's ministry director, and I have taught in the back for years and years when first church started. I was always never in the gathering because I was always teaching back with the kids, and I would teach those kids every Sunday, and I was with them for 1 hour on a Sunday. My relationship with my students at school was completely different than my relationship with the students that I taught at church because of how much time I spent with them. And it, for a while, it was really hard for me to, like, get that, because I would tell some of the students here at the church, like, guys, you really need to sit down, or don't you understand what Miss Nikki's trying to tell you? And they're looking at me like, lady, we barely even know you. And I'm like, well, this works at school all week long. Why don't you guys listen to me? And really what it was is it was a relationship thing. The kids that I was at school with all day long, and Monday through Friday, they knew me, and we had a great relationship with each other. These kids only saw me 1 hour a week, and that's it. And so anyways, it's a huge deal on how much time that you spend with Jesus and how much you really know him and how much you're with him. So how are you going to be in God's word, and how are you going to be spending the time? And I hope it won't just be for the fast, but a fast is a great time to start this. And the last thing I want to say is this. Pastor Craig Rochelle is a pastor of Life Church. It's just this mega church, and he does a lot of leadership principles and stuff. And he says, discipline closes the gap between what you want and what you achieve. I like this quote a lot, because I think it has to go with who do you want to be, and what do you want to be known for? And what kinds of things are you struggling in your life right now in January 2019 that you don't want to be struggling with in January 2020? And these things don't happen by accident. They happen by discipline, and they happen by choice. You guys don't see me on social media, on Facebook, those of you that are my Facebook friends. If you're not one of my Facebook friends, you can become one of my Facebook friends, and that's fine. We can do that. But you don't see me on Facebook say, I did my devotions this morning, check it off the list. Doing devotions is one of those private things that you do as a discipline that you don't get credit for. Nobody says, well done you, you spent time in the Word today, here's a sticker. It's just something you do because it's a discipline. The same as brushing your teeth every morning. It's a discipline. You don't get a star sticker for that, but it's something that you do because it's a healthy choice. Spending time in prayer and in God's word is a discipline that's a healthy choice that closes the gap between what you want and what you achieve. So hopefully you guys have learned something today. Thank you so much for listening to me as I rambled on about this. But I appreciate you guys, your time and stuff. Thank you.
So we'll see if this mic works now. Hey, cool. Thank you, Nikki, for encouraging us and challenging us. And this is something for me personally that she challenges me on all the time. When we choose the discipline, when we choose to do the right things, we get to experience God's blessing. And that's what we're talking about. To live victorious means we walk into the victory intentionally. And so this season, this 21 days of prayer and fasting, this is what I want to encourage us in, okay? Let me scoot this over just a little bit. Is that as we do this, I want you to choose what are you fasting from? And if you just joined us and you weren't here last week, we have some tools for you guys. One is a small little pamphlet that says the 7 basic steps to successful prayer and fasting. That's by Dr. Bill Bright, the late Dr. Bill Bright, who led and started Campus Crusade for Christ. And this is just a really easy, just short thing that you can read that gives you some tools and some practical steps to plan, prepare, and expect God to move. So you can grab that on your way out. If you want to learn more about that, you can go on our website. And we have prayer and fasting resources. You can even just search fasting on our website, and you can get more info about that. But then the practical tool we're giving us is this, the 21 Dangerous Prayers Devotional. And if some of you haven't started a habit like this, there's actually psychology behind doing something 21 days in a row. And the psychology is that once you do it for 21 days, it probably will become a habit. If you give up on day 19, the likelihood of it becoming a habit goes down. Day 14, lower, lower, lower. If you quit on day 3, you're not, it's sorry, you know, right? Like, and so that's one of the things. We want to give you the tool to say, you know what, every day, you know, I have some tools. You got some great ones right there. This tool right here, it has the devotional, it has scripture, and then it has a dangerous prayer for you to pray each day.
And it walks you through questions each day to walk through in your devotional time too. If you're kind of like, I don't know what to think about, then after I did this, you can answer these questions and walk through that together. So everybody grab a copy of that. We bought these this year, so they're even fancy, and like we didn't just do them on our copier. So we invested some money into this too, because we want you to have this, not just for now, but keep using it. You know, if there's a time later on that you're like, I need to get back into this, grab it again and use it again. So we have these two on your way out. You can grab those in the baskets on your way out. But we want to proclaim to God today, as we start tomorrow, that we are doing this and we want to build our life on Him. Not on temporary, not on distractions, not on busy, not on media, not on food. We want to feed our spirit and connect with God during this season of prayer and fasting. And so as we do that, we're going to respond in worship. And I want you just to let God speak during that time as we sing together and let Him continue to speak. So let's stand together as we continue that time together. God, I pray as we are in this season that You would use it in our life. God, I pray daily, and this is a hard prayer, God, that You will do whatever You need to do so that You can do whatever You want to do. Sometimes, God, that's pruning some things from our lives. And sometimes that's You opening up a blessing we didn't know You had available for us. But help us to have the courage to pray and to focus and to be disciplined and make the proclamation that we're going to build our life on You, Jesus. And we're going to remove some things to show You our commitment, that we want You more than anything, than any of these other things. So lead us, even in our time of worship, as we respond. Speak to us.